Werner Herzog has been my guest a number of times now, and he seems to have reinvented himself with each project we've discussed. He was last here to talk about Conquest of the Useless, his memoir about filming Fitzcarraldo, and he's returned this time for his new feature film, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. It's about a rogue detective played by Nicolas Cage, who plays fast and loose with the law. It also features Eva Mendes and Val Kilmer, and it opens today at theaters around the city. I'm very pleased that it gives me the chance to speak once again with Werner Herzog. Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Wasn't there already a film called Bad Lieutenant back in 1992, directed by Abel Ferrara?
Yes, we only have the title in common. People believed, including Abel Ferrara, believed that it was going to be a remake. However, only one of the producers, Ed Pressman, owned the rights to the title. And hoping to start some sort of a franchise, they somehow announced it under the umbrella of a remake, which is utterly wrong. I never liked the title, and I said this will give us a lot of misunderstandings, including Abel Ferrara, whose film I've never seen.
And it's a very good film, but it has nothing in common with this film.
Which is fine, yeah. But you see, let's face it, we are in show business. We are movie makers. And I would like to draw a parallel to baseball games. When you watch a baseball game, you secretly hope as an audience that there will be a moment when the bench is clear and the manager of one team storms out and yells at the umpire only inches away from his face and then steps back and kicks dust. So it doesn't matter what the score was or how good the game was. Those are the memorable moments. And there was a moment like this Abel Ferrara kicking up dust. I love these moments. That's why we are here for doing entertainment.
So the producers thought of this as kind of like the movie equivalent of Law and Order or CSI, in this case, Port of Call, New Orleans. Well, would you have wanted to call it Port of Call, New Orleans?
I wanted to, in order to avoid misunderstandings, I said, let's call it Port of Call, New Orleans. It's even in the dialogues. And there you can start a franchise. Why don't you call the next one Port of Call, Boston, Port of Call, Singapore,
Had you
Port
wanted
of Call,
this
whatever.
To be set in New Orleans from the start?
That's strange. A screenplay which was very, very beautiful, written by William Finkelstein, a New York-based writer, was written for New York. And all of a sudden, from all sides, we converged on New Orleans, the production company for the sake of getting tax incentives. And they were meek and kind of embarrassed to ask me whether I would consider to shift it to New Orleans, and they said, wonderful, it can't get any better. It should be shortly after the hurricane where the city is destroyed and civility had come apart. And at the same time, Nicolas Cage, yet from his angle, unbeknownst to us, was pushing for New Orleans.
Well, he'd made a film earlier. He directed a film with James Franco in New Orleans.
Which I've never seen, but it's more than that. He has a home there, which he loves. And in a way, he said he wanted it for his acting, the kind of music, the fluidity of things. And in that respect, he was right. And he also said, he said it once in a half cryptic, half joking way, I was reborn in New Orleans. He was battling his demons, and somehow so the city has great significance for him.
Well, here's a character he's playing who's battling his demons. But New Orleans is a popular location for filmmakers because it's so scenic and exotic, and your version of the Big Easy has recognizable elements, but it's also unlike any film that I've ever seen set there before.
Well, I try to avoid all the postcard tourist clichés. So you don't see the French Quarter. There is no Mardi Gras. There is no voodoo ceremony. There is no jazz club at 4 in the morning or so. So I try to avoid all this. However, I believe that New Orleans has a very strong presence in the film. It's almost like another leading character.
Well, one thing that we often hear about in connection with New Orleans and Louisiana in general is political corruption. There's plenty of corruption in this film.
Sure, and I must say I bow my head in the direction of the police department, which actually supported the film. And they knew, yes, we were just making a movie. This has nothing to do with the real realities on the ground when the hurricane hit. Of course, there was some corruption among the police as well. Some of them took off with the Cadillacs. I mean, the Cadillacs left first from the car dealerships. But that's okay. I mean, it happens everywhere. And the police was absolutely magnificent how they supported it.
Well, one sense you always get about that area is that the flora, the fauna, the climate play a part in determining the way people behave.
In a way, yes.
And this is something you've dealt with in other films as well.
Including the police department. I like them for their sense of poetry. It's just wonderful.
A sense of poetry in the police department?
Yes, just talk to them. There's a sense of poetry. There's a sense of music among them. And I really like the police force in New Orleans.
Now, Nicolas Cage plays a homicide detective who's suffering from a back injury that despite his cynicism, he got from doing a good deed. It's almost like he's paid a price for being a good guy. Whose idea was it to have him contort his body throughout the film?
Well, that was in the original screenplay by William Finkelstein. However, of course, there's my own touch in the story as well. For example, I invented the iguanas or I invented the dancing soul. People who saw the film immediately talk about all these things, and I changed the beginning, which started in a subway station. And since there's no subway in New Orleans, we invented a completely different beginning, completely different end. Many other things that came into the screenplay and into the story on the run. And whenever there was something funny out there, we would incorporate it because there's a very dark humor in it and people laugh a lot who see the film.
Well, you mentioned the iguanas also, crocodiles. Didn't you film them yourself?
I did, yes, sure. I wanted them to be as demented as it gets. As if it were not a fever dream, but some sort of a demented vision under drugs. So it was great fun to do it,
So you filmed it, but the cinematographer you've worked with a lot, Peter Zeitlinger,
yes,
who is a brilliant cinematographer. He didn't mind that you were
shooting. No, not at all. He had to deal with his own camera, which shot the regular scene, but I shot the scene from a different angle, from only a few millimeters away from the eyes of the iguana. And in the background, you can see Nicolas Cage and Val Kilmer. So, I mean, it was great fun. Actually, one of the iguanas was not an iguana. It was a desert lizard. I forgot the name of it. And they're very aggressive, and it jumped forward and caught my thumb. And bit so hard, and it's like a vice of steel, and I couldn't shake the beast off my thumb. So
this sounds like one of the.
There was a price for filming it that close. Yeah,
you've made film about the price that you pay for working with wild animals. Grizzly bears, for example.
Yeah, sure.
My guess is Werner Herzog, whose latest film is called Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. It opens today at the Empire 25, Lincoln Plaza Cinemas 1, 2, 3, the Chelsea 9, and the Angelica Film Center. What was it like working with Nicolas Cage? Because you'd never worked with him before. It's almost like you cast him in the Klaus Kinski part.
No, we shouldn't make a comparison with
Klaus
Kinski.
Well, at times he's staggering around. He looks like Nosferatu.
Well, some moments might be of certain similarity. But you cannot imitate Kinski, and nobody should attempt that. But we had discovered almost at the same moment that for decades we watched each other's work. and it came as an outrageous insight all of a sudden. Why have we not worked together? And about the same day, we tried to reach each other, and he called, the phone rings, and he was in Australia shooting a film. And within less than 60 seconds, we were in business. We said, let's do this film. And he said, I will, you know, Werner, I will sign this only if you are on board. And I said, it's the same thing for me. I will sign only if you are on board. So we got this together very, very quickly, and hardly any time for pre-production, hardly any time for post-production. In 2 weeks after shooting, I already delivered the fine cut of the film.
Wow.
The cut that you see now today.
So you kind of knew what you were doing, or you just shot very tight?
Well, tight, because
there's a feeling at times that you weren't sticking 100% to the script, that Nicolas Cage was bringing all sorts of things
to
this role that may not have been in the script, but really have deepened the
part. It's true, yes. Of course, number one, I introduced new scenes, new dialogues, whatever. However, and that was the beauty about working with him, because he's such a phenomenally gifted man. Sometimes there were scenes where we would go, let's say, as far as it was scripted, and I knew there was going to be something wild, probably beyond that. And I sensed these moments, and I would say, Nicholas, this is one of the scenes where you have to turn the hog loose. For example, when he threatens the elderly ladies with his magnum gun and goes completely bonkers.
He pulls the oxygen out of her nose.
Which was scripted. That was scripted, but what comes afterwards was completely Nicolas Cage's invention. And it's beautiful to it's almost like in music, like in jazz music. Sometimes one of the players is left alone. You improvise, you give us your best. I always had the gift to get the very best out of actors, Christian Bale, Nicolas Cage. That's why they like to work with me, I guess.
Well, also because the characters are contradictory. They have contradictory natures, which makes for much more interesting characters. You have a film called Bad Lieutenant, and Nick Cage's character does some very bad things involving drugs, gambling, and prostitutes. At one point, as you said, he even pulls a gun on this old lady. Gets some information, but his character is also meant to be a good detective in a way.
He may have crippling character flaws, but
as a cop, he's driven to solve the case.
Yeah, because he is so bad, so vile, and so debased, he manages to solve the case. That's a secret irony in the film, sure. And of course, there was another side about him being so debased and so vile. Nicholas asked me on the first or second day, he says, yeah, I know you hate this kind of talking about motivations, and you hate this kind of talk you would find in Lee Strasberg's acting studio and so. I said, sure, I hate it. And he said, well, may I ask anyway, why is he so bad? Is it Hurricane Katrina? Is it the drugs? I said, no, come on, let's not talk about it. But there is such a thing as a bliss of evil. Enjoy yourself as much as you can, and that will get hilarious.
Well, a bad man can still be a good cop.
Sure.
Bad people can do their jobs well.
He does.
I'm interested in how you approach what has become a very familiar genre of filmmaking. You're covering scenes and situations that are the stuff of many police films and TV shows. So how do you make them distinctive?
I don't know, because I hardly see any. I do not need to distinguish myself. However, I know it sticks out as a film where you can never predict what's going to happen next. It has very unusual characters, a very strong cast. I mean, a part of Nicolas Cage, Eva Mendes,
extraordinary performance,
Val Kilmer, Brad Dourif, you just name it. Because I always knew he would be a man of his caliber, would be no man's land if you do not embed him in a very strong cast, mm-hmm. and of course a very strong story. So I know it's a new way of doing a film noir with very dark humor in it, But as you said at the very beginning, it's not that I ever reinvented myself. I stay the same. The projects are slightly different.
Well, film noir is called film noir because usually there were a lot of shadows because most of the action took place at night. But here you're doing a film noir that's taking place mostly in daylight hours.
Yes, which is true. And I must confess that some of the night scenes in the screenplay planned as night scenes, I rewrote as day scenes because I'm awful at night. I'm not a night person. From 1 a.m. or so, I cannot talk properly anymore. I do not make sense. I stumble around. I do not know where I am and who I am and why. So I try to avoid night shooting.
Well, maybe we should come up with a new category called Film Blanc or something like that. It's been almost 10 years since your last fiction film, Invincible. What's taken so long?
No, I have done Rescue Dawn with in between that was
a lot of
like
documentaries.
A lot of documentaries. well, but of course, only a few months after New Orleans or Bad Lieutenant, part of called New Orleans, I've done a short film, a musical in the south of Ethiopia, and then I did another feature film called My Son, What Have Ye Done? So
that's
all
Michael
of a sudden,
Shannon.
Michael Shannon, yes, and Willem Dafoe and Chloe Sevigny.
Wow.
A wonderful cast, I mean, with the best of the best. I wanted to keep a budget extremely low, work with the best of the best, and a great story, and make a movie that people will enjoy.
Well, your production designer, Tony Corbett, said that he saw your approach as being very documentarian. Maybe that's the reason you could put it together so edited so quickly.
Well, I only shoot what I see on the screen, what I imagine, what I need for the screen. So I do not shoot reverse angles and close-ups and this and that. So I shoot very briefly and that's it.
Now, we have very little time, but you've been living in the United States for quite a few years. Do you still think of yourself as a German filmmaker?
A Bavarian, and that's a distinction like between Scotsman and Englishman. Yes, I'm Bavarian, and I stay to be a Bavarian.
Although I think of you as an American. This is a very American movie. Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, directed by Werner Herzog, starring Nicolas Cage, Eva Mendes, and Val Kilmer. And it opens today at the Empire 25, the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas 123, Chelsea 9, and Angelica Film Center. And my great thanks to Werner Herzog for being our guest today on our show.
Thank you for having me.